please rise for the gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Jesus stood among the disciples and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened? And why do your doubts arise in your heart? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I have spoken to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. When I was in elementary school, we used to have sleepovers. And one of the things that girls and boys do at sleepovers is they tell ghost stories. They try to scare each other with really great ghost stories. But you know, in all of my sleepovers and all of my time as a camp counselor, I never recall pulling the Bible out and saying, "I have a really great ghost story for you." But today, we actually do have a ghost story. The story of the resurrection. See, Jesus, the story today takes place on the Sunday after Jesus had, the day that Jesus had risen, and he had appeared to the women, and no one believed the women because they thought they'd lost their minds. And so then Jesus appears to two people walking on the road to Emmaus in Luke, and again they come running back and say, "We've seen Jesus," but all of his followers are doubting it. And so the disciples are gathered, and suddenly Jesus appears before them. And they are completely freaked out. They're filled, it says, with terror. They're filled with incredible fear. And when you think about it, it makes sense. I mean, they had seen him die. There's no question about that. And suddenly he's standing in front of them. But what he does with them when he sees them, I think, speaks volumes about who Jesus is and how we understand Jesus, how Jesus comes to us. Because what he does is exactly in line with what the historian Tertullian told us happens when someone was expected to prove that they weren't a ghost. Apparently, there was a big ghost issue at the time of Jesus. So historians wrote that when they thought someone was a ghost, in order to prove that they weren't a ghost, there were three things that had to happen. First of all, you had to show them parts of your body that had bone on them, because ghosts don't have bones. And so that would be your hands, and especially your hands, because those are the most obviously bony parts of your body. So he shows them his hands so that they can see that he has bones. And the second thing to prove that you're not a ghost is you have to prove that your feet are on the ground, because as we all know, ghosts go floating around. And so if your feet are on the ground, you are not a ghost, because ghosts got no feet. So He says, look at my feet. And clearly when he's doing that, you could see that he was grounded. Now the last thing Tertullian tells us that happens when someone has to prove that they're not a ghost is you have to show them your teeth and then you have to eat something. Because if you were a ghost and you ate something, you would see it go down and you would see the food, you know, kind of go around. It actually says this. I am not making this up. I did research on ghosts. So you had to show that you didn't have food kind of going around. So he says, okay, give me something to eat. And they give him a fish, and he eats the fish. And you'll notice that Jesus eats in every one of the resurrection stories we're told. And he eats to prove that he's not a ghost. I love that. Because what it does is, it shows us, and the people then would have known all of this, it shows us that Jesus meets us at our point of need to comfort us when we're struggling and times are difficult. That Jesus actually cares to show us. He cared about his disciples to prove to them in ways that they would understand that he was present with them, that what they were experiencing mattered, and that he was showing so that they would have peace. And that's what Jesus does with us too. Now it's important to know that we live in a broken world, and God, because of the way the world works, there are things that happened. We all experience death and pain and unfairness and uncertainty and hard times. And sometimes those can't be taken away just because life is hard. But what God promises us is that God will meet us in our pain and in our emptiness, and God will fill it with his presence and remind us that even when things are hard, God is there. Just as Jesus was willing to prove that he wasn't a ghost, he will prove to us that he is present in our lives. And I believe that happens. I believe it with my whole heart. A lot of times things happen and people say, oh, that was just coincidence. But I believe God provides us with God things, with moments of grace, with moments of an assurance, with those moments when, well, we now get fish for him to eat, but we can see and experience that we know that there's something more, that there's something concrete that we can hold on to. The world will say, oh, that's just a coincidence. Don't hold on to that. You're just looking for signs. But I think God provides them. I think of when my father passed away. I was in Europe at the time, but my sister came home the night after Dad died, and in his driveway was sitting a silver fox. They've never seen a silver fox in that neighborhood. It was a highly unusual thing. My sister's a wildlife manager. She would know immediately that silver foxes were not indigenous to that area. My father kind of fancied himself a silver fox, so I think it was a humorous way of God assuring my sister that everything was going to be okay. And somebody would say, oh, that's a coincidence, oh, all these other things. They kind of rationalize that out of there. I'm going to find God in God's presence. I'm going to be aware of where God is, and I'm going to see that and experience that. And we have that choice. You know, there's a story about the person who's there's a flood, and everything's rising in the flood, and the person's praying and say, God, help me, and is sure that God's going to help them. And they're at the top of the roof, and a person comes by in a rowboat and says, hey, come on, I'll help you. You know, I'll come on in the boat. He goes, no, God's going to help me. And then a little while later, a powerboat goes by, and the person sees the powerboat, and they pull over, and they say, hey, come on, get in, I'll save you. And he says, no, I'm going to wait because God promised God would help me. And then finally a helicopter lowers down a rope and says, come on up. And he's like, no, God's going to help me. And the water keeps rising. And he drowns. And he goes to heaven. Says to God, but you said you were going to help me. And God says, I sent you a rowboat, I sent you a motorboat, and I sent you a helicopter. What more do you want? We need to be open to seeing when God's present. We need to be open to the signs, and we need to shut off the world that tells us that's just a coincidence. Because sure, we can rationalize everything. But I believe with my entire heart that God does not leave us alone in the midst of the journey of life. You know, there's so much brokenness. There's so much pain. And God's not going to just leave us. Jesus didn't just leave us. He fills us with the presence, with the community, with arms and hands around us to support us. We can put it off, or we can refuse to see. But when we pray and open ourselves up, I have seen time and time again how God can work through and give us a sense of peace in the midst of the storm, a sense of confidence that everything is going to be okay, even as our heart breaks. God will fill us with God's presence if we allow ourselves to experience it. A God who would come and prove he's not a ghost using the three techniques that showed that is a God who gets our fears. And in the midst of those frightening moments of our lives, will give us strength and comfort. That is the grace of God. But there is one other step in this story that I think is very, very important. It's what do they do once they know this? Jesus talks to them after he's proven who he is, and he says, you are witnesses. He doesn't say you can be. He doesn't say you could be. He doesn't say you will be. He says you are witnesses. You have experienced this. You have seen this, and it is up to you to share this. It is up to you to tell others. And it's up to us as well to be witnesses. You know, we live in a world where we're willing to tell people about something that matters in our life that we're interested. I like Downton Abbey. So some people said, oh, you love Downton Abbey, you're going to love Call the Midwife. And it's great, you know. I'm more than willing to take up my time to watch Call the Midwife because it's a great show. Just at the beginning, so don't tell me what happens. But we're willing to do that. My sisters and I were talking about what our best medicines were working for different things, because that's what sisters do when they get older. And we were sharing, oh, this medicine might work for you. We're willing to tell people about that, right? We're willing to tell people and share with people things in our lives that, you know, I saw this great movie. I saw this great play. It's called Hamilton. You should all see it. It's really good. We're willing to tell people about that. So why not tell them about a God that's impacted them in a church community? A church community that supports us when things are hard, that is present and active and engaged in the community. We're witnesses. And this world isn't a world of hurt. This world is a tough place. And I suspect if all of you thought really hard, you could think of someone who has a source of emptiness or pain or brokenness in their life. Can most of you think of someone who does not have everything perfectly together and tied up neatly in a bow? We all know people who can use something more. And it's not too bold to say, you should check my church out. Or you should get to know my God because he comes and proves to people he's not a ghost. You know, there's tapes people have about what the church is. And it's not what people think often. Place of acceptance, a place of love, a place of support. But the only way people find out about that is if we play our role as witnesses. If those people at Jesus' time had not told anyone, we wouldn't be where we are today. It only spreads because we're sharing, because we're witnesses. So if you have experienced God in your life, if you've experienced the grace, if you've experienced the peace, if you've experienced the knowledge that there is more to this life than what's here in the midst of the pain and brokenness, then we are obliged to share the good news. Because he is not a ghost. He proved it to us. He is risen, risen indeed. It's not a ghost story. It's a true story. And we are called to share it. Amen.